Well, we're doing great this morning.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like...
super sharp. Thinking super clearly. Sharp,
thinking clearly. Hey, man, you know what? I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
There, in the weather, there was a cold front that came down.
Yes.
And that's why it was 30-something this morning. Uh-huh. It's going to be worse. Like down south in North Carolina, it's going to be 20, but it's really weird. But it helped me get outside and wake me up.
That's right.
The cold weather does that to me. Remember that?
Yeah.
Doesn't do that to a lot of people. But it's like, oh man, this is great.
To me, it goes, I want to just be on my couch with like a warm, snuggly blanket and not
go
outside. Uh-huh. No, there is something good about cold air that does kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
It's like splashing cold water in your face.
Which is the opposite of what happened to me early this morning. I was like, God, let me get up early this morning. Just felt like that. And all of a sudden the cat jumps up right next to me. And I'm like, all right, let me just lay down for another 15 minutes.
I can't deny
my cat
the joy of being pet by me this morning.
There
that's
you go.
What, yeah, that's what
it
is. Yeah,
it was self-sacrificial.
You're a great guy. Thank God those cats have you.
Oh, man. Yeah, all good.
Yep. Well, yesterday was full because really the end of this week was full because you had two separate seminars that were the same, but two different times of it that you did with Elise called Let's Do This. That was like sharing faith.
Yep.
So that was Thursday night and yesterday afternoon. So yesterday was like preach both services.
Yeah.
And then I heard you ate some Chinese food.
Oh, so good.
And then... and then came back and did the seminar. So it was a long day, but is the sermon still fresh in your mind? You still
It really is. Really the seminar was great because Elise handled a whole lot of it. And it was really just about, man, naturally just sharing our faith in everyday life so that people can get a glimpse that, wow, there's something deeper and foundational going on in that person that I kind of want.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, you know what I mean? So that was that. But, you know, it's always a little bittersweet's the wrong word, but you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
It's always like, oh, man, we're at the end of the series.
Yeah.
But it's also like, this is great. We've gone through 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And now we're at this ending place in the last sermon of a long series. Now, consider 8 weeks a long series. Most of them are like four or 5 weeks. But this is like... And you really have to think through how to grab hold of it and encapsulate it and say, hey, it all boils down to this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's really, Solomon helped me in that.
I was going to say, Solomon did that for you, so that was really great of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's break it down into some simple things, you know?
Yeah.
When it's all over with, here's my conclusion.
Yeah. It was, I thought the point you made about the scientific method and like Ecclesiastes being the oldest version of oldest example of the scientific method being used, which I wasn't really that good at science, but I did remember what the scientific method was, so I had that going for me at least.
Yeah. And like, and I was and I was chastised somewhat by that engineer I talked about. He came up to me after service and he said,
"You did it wrong.
I am a scientist, not an engineer."
Oh.
I was like, oh yeah, I guess there is somewhat of a difference there. He's a biomolecular chemist.
Chemist. Okay, yeah.
And he works with a lot of engineers that work with the spectrography, whatever he's and all the, these just, things
we
that
might
split
be making
atoms
words up
and
now.
Spectrograph.
Yeah, because I know there are chemical engineers, but there's also just like the chemists.
Right. And then a guy next to him was like, yeah, engineers are almost right. Scientists are right. I was like, whoa, now I'm not getting into that debate.
No, we're going
to. Conversation. Like, what? I didn't even know what they were talking about at that point.
I am not nearly smart enough to participate in this conversation.
But it is. Yeah. It was like, here was his hypothesis. Mm-hmm. Everything's meaningless. Everything's just a vapor. Everything is is just like, what's this all worth? You know what I mean? When you really think about it. He says, then he literally uses the word, here's my observation.
Right.
That of all these crazy things that go on, I'm still coming up with that hypothesis. Yeah.
looked at all these things. I've tested it. I've landed back where I started. I think my hypothesis is true, except if you live a life with the Lord.
That's right.
Right? And he brings it back and he's like,
it's amazing.
The only time that this hypothesis is not accurate is if you have so embedded your life into what God has for us. Now there's meaning to be
now found. Now there's something there, you know, that can say, wow, it's not all just you live and then die.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you know, after he had developed his observations and he tested it for, you know, 10, 11 chapters,
yeah,
comes back and says the same hypothesis in verse 8 of chapter 12. It was like, everything's meaningless.
Yep.
And then he says, but here's the conclusion of the matter. Mm-hmm. And that's when he says what you said.
And we, you know,
obey God,
fear God, obey his commands.
Obey his commands and man, just recognize him, remember him. All of chapter 12 is really about remember him, remember him. If anybody wants to read something that's like, sort of like a little bit somber, but a little bit like, this is giving me a reality check.
Yeah.
Read chapter 12,
because that's the
Lord. Yep. Oh my gosh. And then he comes to those last two verses in chapter 12, and it's mm-hmm. like, this is what it's all about, man.
Yeah.
There's a God, we need to serve him, and that's going to give your life, you know, ultimate meaning.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to say something that I think is one of those things. I saw it on a sign on 322 headed out west, okay? And it said something about this. I'm going to botch the saying, but it was a sign painted by a mailbox, very clear to the road of somebody's house that says, with Jesus, mm-hmm. life is worth living.
Okay.
And I hear other things like that, that like there's no meaning to life without Jesus.
Right.
And let's be real. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think those are exactly true.
I think they've taken a true thing, but turned around the order of the words in a way that makes it not super true anymore, you know?
Yeah. And, like, and do you remember me talking yesterday about the word simple?
Yeah.
Simplistic?
Yep.
Simple is something we easy to understand, easy to do, awesome. You took a complicated thing and made it easy to understand and easy to do. That's simple. Those two things I just mentioned, like life's not worth living if you don't have Jesus. It's like you just did something that's simplistic. You oversimplified it. You left it to where there's something lacking in that.
Right.
And I don't believe that at all, because I really believe that all of us are made in the image of God.
Yeah.
All of us have a legitimate place on this earth.
Yep.
And I think God is trying to draw everybody to their creator. And there is a meaning and purpose that God has for you here. You wouldn't be here.
Right.
So to say that there's no meaning, I got to push back on that, you know, because it's still the meaning is from God.
Right. The difference is that God gives meaning to everything.
Yes.
That is alive.
Yes.
And that's it's the not point. Alive. But like if you woke up this morning, there's purpose in it because God has given it to you. You, if you don't know the Lord, might not understand that meaning or know what that meaning is. But it doesn't mean that the meaning
that's
and purpose doesn't
my
exist.
My whole point. Yeah. That was well said.
Yeah.
That was well said, because I always stand against platitudes. Mm-hmm. And when people say these things that are like, you know, that just don't really make sense when you really think about it. And they're over simple. So it means they're simplistic.
Yeah.
I love the way you said that. God gives every living thing meaning.
Yep.
Now, whether we admit to it and whether we acknowledge that God is the one that gives my life meaning, that's on me.
Yep.
But God is the one that gives your life meaning.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now when people say life's not worth living without Jesus, I'm like, whoa, that's even worse. It's like, wait a minute. Would you tell a non-believer that your life is not worth living?
No,
not at all.
I would tell them, you'll have a hard time understanding the life you're living.
That's right.
Without Jesus.
That's right. And God is always, always doing the work of drawing you to himself, which is going to be ultimately what gives you the ultimate meaning of your life.
Yeah.
Because God's the one that gives meaning. I just want to, I just wanted to throw that out there because I think some people get confused when the book of Ecclesiastes says meaningless, meaningless, everything's meaningless. It's meaning.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to take great pains and show that video last week, not this past week.
Okay, the one last week,
last week about the guy throwing the stuff into the air and it became a vapor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the Hebrew word for meaningless is actually vapor or breath. So it's like, man, it's here 1 minute and you love it and then it's gone. Like when he talks about pleasure and wine and money and all that. All it's like, things, man, it's not holding up.
Yep.
It's not doing anything for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really, really what he's saying. And so when people just say that it's all meaningless, it's like, it's not saying that you and the value you have as a human being is meaningless.
Right.
It's saying the things that you're trying to hold your life up, those are meaningless.
Those are the meaningless things.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. And the video yesterday was just about simplicity. It's just like, you know, make your life simple.
But it was good to look at that because it is pursuing simple faith that helps us to understand like the meaning in our life, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's why we ended with that yesterday was because you're talking about, okay, we fear God, obey his commands. That's the ultimate way to get meaning, like understand the meaning of what is happening around you is this simple faith. And you had three different kind of points in living a life of prayer, living a life of love, living a life of belief. I thought that we could dig into that last thing a little bit because I thought it was so good that I didn't want to just leave it on Sunday morning. Yeah. I want to like dig into it a little more because you said it's one thing to understand the doctrine of God and to live your life according to the doctrine of God. That's sort of the easy thing. And then there's the next level because it's a whole other thing to live in the mystery of God and say, okay, doctrine doesn't explain everything. And it's, I think, in the mysterious times of life, whether it's like, oh my goodness, this is really horrible. What's the meaning of it? Or, oh my gosh, this is really awesome.
Yeah.
What's the meaning of it? Yeah. We risk going back into that place of everything is meaningless unless we can figure out how to be comfortable with and trusting God when he says, you know, I am good all the time.
Yes.
What do we do?
I mean, the way I look at it is putting those two things together in terms of our spiritual growth. Yes, we can grow in the Lord when we read his scripture and we understand it and we grab hold of it and we're sitting with it and we're okay with it. Because the whole idea about that first level of spiritual growth and doctrine has to do more with submission.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, I'm going to submit to that.
Right.
You know, I'm going to obey that. I don't want to, and it, man, this is going to be hard, or it's going to take away my fun, but I'm going to obey that.
Which, let's be clear, I love doctrine. That's kind of a theology thing.
Listen, that,
I
you
love
have to
dig
it.
Into it.
But
yeah.
that's why I'm saying it's a legitimate form of spiritual growth, and we got to understand doctrine. That means we're in the Word, learning about Jesus, learning about God. God has a lot to say about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful dance between learning God and learning us. And I think that even the church fathers written a long time ago said that, man, if you don't understand God, you don't understand us. If we don't understand us, we don't understand God. I mean, it's just like there's this swinging that happens and it's like nice.
Yeah.
And yet the big thing is, are we willing to obey and trust in the doctrine that's given us? That second level, it too is about submission. But it's not submission in terms of obedience. It's submission in terms of trust.
Yep.
So the first one has more to do with obedience and a little bit of trust.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, I'll obey this even though I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
The second one has more to do with trust.
Yeah.
And maybe a little to do with obedience, just I got to live in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it has to do with that trust factor because we don't get it. We don't understand. And there's a lot of theology out there that says, you know what? We're going to turn it into a system. And if you do this system, say the right words, whatever you want to do. And we figured the unlocking out.
Yep.
And that's been around. since New Testament days. Mm-hmm. It was called the Gnosticism movement.
Yeah.
And Gnostics, who think they had a special knowledge. They had the key to unlocking everything that God had to give them. And they're like, man, Jesus was the key for that. And we're like that.
That's what
they weren't saying that. They were saying you had to arrive at another plane and just all this crazy, you know. It's like, no, Jesus has given us everything we need for this life. And the word of God, like it says in Peter, it gives us everything for life and godliness.
Yep.
But he doesn't give us everything.
Right.
God is, his ways are so much.
It's not everything we want. Like,
listen,
this is a simple example and kind of silly. Like, there's things that I just want to know about Solomon, like about his life, you know, but we don't get to know all of the intricate details. Like, how did we get from here to here? Because I
you
started out so good.
So good, so good.
And then, I want more details. I love to read books. I love, like, all of the little nitty-gritty things. I just want more detail or, like, different Bible characters or, you know, give me more details. We don't need that information, so we don't have it.
Yeah.
And then similar goes with the doctrine. We have all of the understanding
that we need.
Do I want more?
Uh-huh. Man. Yeah. It was after worship. I believe it was even after second service. I'm looking over at Sean because he was there. He was in the room with me.
Yeah.
But one of the worship guys who was singing on the team was like, we just got talking about this, man. And I said, listen, man, I know sometimes we just don't understand. But what do we do when we're in that mystery and something tragic happened or something, you know, we're seeing like, why, God, why aren't you working this out? You know?
Yep.
I have to, in the midst of mystery, bring my honest self before God. My honest self, whether I'm happy to admit this or not, I'm happy to admit that I'm honest before God. I'm not happy to admit what it looks like when I'm honest before God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I can remember times in the past, even 3 months, 2 months, gone to God and said, okay, God, now me and you have issues. Because I do not like what you just did. Mm-hmm. I don't like what's going on here. I don't know what your plan is. I'm not doubting your goodness. I'm not doubting your wisdom. All right? I'm not doing that. But I don't like what's going on here. So now me and you are done our conversation.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. I didn't even. I was in a very bad place.
Yeah.
And I brought that. And for some reason, when I bring my honest self, God can handle all that. He can handle my anger. Mm-hmm. He can handle my doubt. He can handle all of that. And that's when I bring my honest self, that's when he starts to soften me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, I'm starting to realize a little more how I've got to trust him more.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I love when I go to God when I'm like, God, thank you for this. And I'm starting to understand what you're doing here and all this and that. And I submit to it. I wish I was there all the time, but I'm not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when we bring our honest self to the doctrine and to the mystery, you know what? That's where God does his greatest work.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's where we come back to with that verse in Proverbs that we've brought up a few times in this series. Just, you know, trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Not in your own understanding. And that's what we need to do. That's the Proverbs 3:5-6. And we, you know, that's where we need to be.
That's a great point. That's
there.
A great way to encapsulate what we just said.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't use that verse to encapsulate my section on that. I kind of used that to close the whole service, but great point.
It flows right into it.
Flows right into it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. My understanding, very narrow compared to the Lord. And
he'll set us up for success, man. We just lean on him. Let him have it, you know?
Yep. So there's our challenge coming out of this.
Yeah, man.
8 weeks of Solomon's life. It's a good challenge. But
good challenge. And thanks for sitting with me all these 7-8 weeks to, you know, just to kind of talk through all this. Yeah, man.
Happy to be here.
And now, honestly, it's Holy Week.
Easter
coming. And Good Friday. You're doing a lot with that service.
Good Friday service.
The Good Friday service coming up. Actually, on Good Friday.
It's next Friday.
I know.
Yeah. If it's
on Good Friday.
Palm Sunday first.
Yeah, Palm Sunday is this Sunday, then Good Friday, then Easter, and that's all here at the church. So we'll see you all then. Awesome.
Celebrating.
Yeah, man.
Cool.
Thanks a lot.
Happy Monday.
See you. Happy Monday.